Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, okay. So, I will say sac passé to everyone, and you have to respond to me. Ma boule. What is it, sac passé?
Ma boule.
Sac passé?
Ma boule.
Passé means what's happening, and ma boule means I'm burning. All right? So, the sun is pretty hot outside, and it reminds me of Haiti. And Haiti is so hot, and that's the reason why we use that greeting. So when we see our friends, and we said, "Sac passé!" All right, so we are here today, and it's all good. All right, so what about if we sing a song? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. All right, so let's bow our head. I'm going to start real quick. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all, I accept it all. Let only your will be done in me, and all in your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I committed my soul, I offer it to you, with all the love of my heart, for I love you, O Lord, and so need to give myself, to surround myself into your hands, without reserve and without boundless confidence. For you, O my Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, how many of you were here yesterday? Raise your hand. Great. Well, I am so happy to have you back again. So, today, you will hear my childhood life story growing up in Haiti. And then, I don't know how many of you been to Mitch and Louis session and talked about Haiti and then and the voodoo and then all kind of stuff. And then in the voodoo session, they also brought some the history of Haiti. And I am so fortunate to be among all of you and then to share my testimony. So every time I share my testimony with others, I feel that I accomplished something, because there's a lot of kids in Haiti still in the same situation like I was. My name is Bill Nathan. In the United States, so often people call me William. I also say, no, just Bill. No, William, just Bill. Well, the Bill wasn't given by my father. When I was born, my father was looking for a name. And then my father kept thinking, well, I need a name for my son. And my father used to work with a group of Americans. And this guy, he started a company up in the north, Capetian. It's up here. And it was a Cecil company. And then my father used to work with them. And when they heard that, well, my father just had a new baby. And they questioned my father, is he a boy or a girl? And my father responded, it's a little boy. And they said to my father, you only have a name for your son. And my father said, no, I'm looking for a name. And then one of the American ones, they said, well, why don't you call him Bill? And here we go. So, I named him Bill. And my father's name, Benito Oba. I didn't know my father. All I'm telling you right now, my mother shared that with me. It's a little hard for me too, but I will keep going. Well, my father died when I was 2 months old. I didn't know my father. And then my mother decided
to live Capetian. And we were living in a small town called Fahiton. And my mother decided to leave Fahiton and go somewhere else to look for better life. It was myself and my older sister's named Sheila. So my mother made it to the Central Plateau, Hinch. Right here. But my mother, when she went there, but she know for sure she had no family members living in Central Plateau. And she took us and we went there. When we got there, we didn't have no place to live. We spent 3 days on the street and then sleep by the marketplace. People were walking by and they saw us. And some of them approached my mother. And they said to my mother, "What are you doing here? Those kids are too young to live in the street." And then they said, "Well, would you like a place?" And my mother said, "Well, I'll be more than happy to find a place." While we were living on the street, and then people were feeding us with what they were selling on the city street. So one day, a lady named Sulon Judo came to us, approached my mother, said, "Well, I know there's a group of nuns, Catholic nuns. I know they are there helping the poor people in the neighborhood. Why don't you go and talk to them? They might do something for you." My mother said, "Well, I don't know where the place is, but if you can show me where they are located, I'll be more than happy to go and talk to them." And the lady took my mother and the two of us to the compounds where the sisters are. So when we got there, we met Sister Caroline. She was the head nuncher for the compound. She took us in, and then she fed us, and then she gave us a place to stay with the nuns. After a week, she said to my mother, "Well, you know, where we are, we're not allowed for people to stay in the compound where the sisters are. But I see you have two little kids, and then you don't have a place, according to what you shared for us. But what I'm going to do, I'll look for a place for you and where you can live with those two kids." And then Sister Caroline went and found a two-bedroom house, and she went in the house for us. And then she took us there. And then they bought all the furniture for us and imported the house. And my mother said, "Well, now you're providing a place for us. I need to help you guys. I need to do something in this community." So the nuns, they have a community garden, and my mother will go there every day and help them around. So we will be, my mother every day will take us to the compounds where the sisters are, and then Sister Caroline said, "Well, those two kids need to go to school." And Sister Caroline makes sure that the two of us went to school and paid for the tuition for us. Beside walking in the garden, my mother was the one on the gate taking names down, because there's a lot of people coming and knocking the gate and ask for help. And my mother will write the name down, and then my mother will give the list to the sisters at the end of the day. So one day my mother decided to go out and then look for another job. So when the sisters heard my mother went and looked for another job, and then they were upset They thought that they did something wrong to my mother. Well, my mother looked, and then she finally found a job. But the only job she could find is cooking, cleaning, and ironing. And my mother said, I will do it. And then my mother went back to Sister Caroline and explained to her the reason why she went and got the job. And then Sister Caroline said, well, explain it to us. And then my mother said, well, I feel so embarrassed. Like, you guys paying the tuition for us, for my kids, and then paying the rent for us. And then I need to get a job where I can pay my own rent. And the money that you use for our rent, you can help more families with that money. So Sister Caroline said, well, thank you. But you know, we want to help you. And my mother said, well, I understand. But I want others to have a chance. And there's so many people in the same situation. So my mother got the job. So my mother ended up very involved in the community where she was leading the Bible study for the elderly in the community. So that was the daily routine. My mother would go to work and would go to school, and then at the end of the day, my mother will come home and make sure we do our homework, and then make sure we have something to eat, and then we'll go to bed. When I was 6 years old, one day my mother left for work, and when she got back, she helped us with our homework. And then we ate, and everybody went to bed. So my mother, before we fall asleep, she always sings some songs for us. On that day, she was singing some beautiful songs. And it was myself and my sister. I was 6, she was 10. And then suddenly, my mother started to call out loud, Shayla, Shayla, please take care of Bill. I'm feeling like I'm dying. But I didn't know what death means. I was 6 years old, but I had no idea what she meant. But when I got to age, I realized that my mother was calling for my sister because she was the oldest and she wanted her to look after me. And my sister was 10. What we did, we hold hands. And then we started to sing. And later on, we heard no sounds. No sounds. And then we started to shake her, call, Mommy, 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 Mommy. And then no sounds. And my sister, smart enough, and then she opened the door and she ran out and called for help. And thank God we lived in a good neighborhood and a lot of the neighbors came at that night and help us. And when they came in, they said to us, your mother died. And then, this doesn't mean anything to me. I was playing. Playing, said, my, your mother died? I was playing. But in my head, she's sound asleep, she'll come back the next day. So some of the neighbors went to the compound where the sisters are and explained to them what happened. And then Sister Caroline came over. And then she went back and talked to the nuns. Said, well, we have to do something. We have to take care of the funeral and we have to make sure those kids have a place where they can go and live. The sisters took us with them, and then they organized all the funeral thing for my mother. So we stayed with the nuns for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, Sister Caroline decided to organize a meeting, like you guys gathering in this room. And the purpose of the meeting was, which family will be agreed to take myself and my sisters to be part of their family? Simanjo, that my mother met on the very first day, she raised her hands, said, well, I'll be more than happy to take Bill to be part of my family. And another family said the same thing for my sister. I remember Sister Caroline made it very clear to them, please do not treat them like slaves. In Haiti, we have a word for slave called restavec. Restavec, it's a French word, means stays with in a negative way. The family agreed that world, don't worry, will take good care of them. My sister and I got separated. When I first moved to that family's place, they took me in with such an open heart, joy, along with their kids, and then they gave me a bed. And then the lady bathed me like she do for her own children. But over the years, everything changed. I don't get the same treatment anymore. She kicked me out of the house. When she kicked me out, I didn't know what to do. But in the property, there's a big house where they live, and they have a kitchen, summer house. Dirt floor, and then covered with coconut leaves. Something that you won't believe if you see a picture. She said, this is your spot. I don't want you to be in, well, I don't want you to be where we are. You have to sleep there. She didn't give me anything to sleep on. I used a cardboard and then turned it to a bed. So every day, I'll be sleeping there. Every morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, she will come and then sometimes pour water in my ears to wake up. And then I will get up and then say, you take the broom and start to work. I remember that the Sister Caroline said to her, you don't worry, we'll pay the tuition for you. And I remember I used to go to school. And one day she said, well, you're not allowed to go to school anymore. And school doesn't make for you. And then she stopped. And she said, you're not allowed to play with my kids as well. And then you're not allowed to play with any of the kids in the neighborhood. I was the first one to get up in the morning, the last one to go to bed. And I was not allowed to eat on the same table with them. And I will have to eat the scratch from the table or what they don't eat. And I couldn't eat that until that everything is clean. Rain or shine, I have to go get the water, and then I have to go get the food that they need to cook. But part of my work, when I was living there, is to go get the water for the family. And I was forced to carry a 5-gallon of bucket in my head. Every day. If I don't bring the water home, I get beat up for no better reason. What she used to beat me up with, it's a whip made with cowhide. And sometimes she had the grounder, she would put on the ground, and then she said, you put your knees. And then she have 2 big rocks in my hands and like this. While I'm holding the rocks, and she was beating me up. But one day I have enough courage, strength to say, God is good. But I had no idea what I'm saying. But I remember my mother said that word. And I shouted out, God is good. And then she looked at me and said, oh, where do you get this word from? And I didn't respond. Said, well, if you have another place to live, just go and leave my house. But in my head, I thought, well, I will be living with her for the rest of my life because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I had anywhere else to go. But one day, I was in the yard cleaning, and I heard a knock at the gate, and I ran. And there were 2 guys, Ken. They said, are you Bill? I said, yes, I am. They said, Bill, you know what? Sister Caroline needs you. And guess what? I ran with those 2 guys. I didn't think about like taking any clothes, any shoes, and I just ran. So when I get to the compounds where the sisters are, they took me in. They took me in. One of the nuns bathed me, gave me new clothes to wear, and they gave me a pair of sandals. And I still remember the color. It's blue and white. And then I think the brand is Zico. I had no idea where they made, but I was so happy I got it. New pair of sandals and new clothes to wear. And they gave me something to eat. And one of them took me to Sister Caroline's office. Sister Caroline said, Bill, I am so sorry. The lady promised us she will take good care of you. But by the words of mouth, we heard you've been treated very poorly and you not deserve to live in such a condition. And your mother was so involved in this community. For them to treat you like the way they treated you. And guess what? We find you a new family. I said, oh, a new family. I wasn't too sure about that. I was living in a family where I've been beat up all the time. Now you said you find me a new family? Oh, no way. Well, the first question I asked, Won't they beat me where I'm going? She said no. Bill, you'll be living in a beautiful family where you'll have a chance to go to school and we'll have a lot of friends to play with, and you will have your own bed. And then you'll be sitting in the center room with everybody. Bill, you'll be fine. I got in the car and they took me to Port-au-Prince. So when I got to Port-au-Prince, I never leave the countryside. So you know, for someone who never leave the countryside and come in Port-au-Prince, my eye was like, you know, looking around. And then, guess where they took me? St. Joseph's Home for Boys. And I still remember the very first day entering St. Joseph's Home for Boys, I felt that my mother and my father's presence at St. Joseph's. With the welcome that I received, not only from the boys, but from Michael the founder, where they handed me a glass of cold water. I was the one serving that family all the time. Now people are serving me. I felt that my mother would do the same thing for me. And the kids came and hugged me, and I was, since the death of my mother, I never have anybody that showed me any kind of affection, anything. And then I felt like those kids will come and quiz me. I said, no. And they said, no, it's okay. That's how we greet our brothers and sisters when they come to St. John's. And then one of them taught me another tool and started to show me around the house. This Bill, this is where we sleep, and the Bill, this is what we do. We get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we pray, Bill. In this house, we pray. I said, you pray? I said, okay. I said, Bill, in this family, we work together. And then when they mentioned, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, I said in my head, this is nothing. This is nothing. And then walk together, oh, heaven. I was the one doing all the work by myself. Now walking together, that's all I need. This is the such a community that I wanted, a family that I wanted. So I came to St. Joseph's when I was 8 years old. And then that's where I grew up. And then that's when I started to learn about what God is. And then learn how to live in the community. And learn how to live in the family. And since then, this one became my only family. I didn't know I had other family members. I didn't know. In my head, it's my sister only. But I had no idea what she's going through. But I know God took me away from the family and now provide me a beautiful home. Well, I grew up at St. Joseph's, and then they gave me a chance where I had my education, and then go back to the families in the countryside when I was living there. And then I mentioned earlier, part of my work is to carry the water. And I would have to use a keg of 5 gallon of bucket. And you know, when you go get the water, it's not usual, you don't go in the house and then turn up the faucet and the water's there. You have to walk miles to go get the water. And then when you get to the water fountains, you have to wait. Until the water comes. Because you never know when the water comes. So this the same thing for everybody in the villages. So you have to go and wait patiently. In Haiti, you need to learn the word patient. You wake and in everything in Haiti. You on the top, whatever you do in Haiti. If you have an appointment at 7, sharp. People start showing up at 8 o'clock. So, when I get to the water fountain, and while I'm waiting for the water, and guess what? I turned my bucket upside down and then started to play. Well, not this great rhythm. It was worse. Well, people who were there, they said, "Oh, Bill, you are very good." I said, "Really?" They said, "Yes, you are very good." And then what they said, what a joy in my heart, and what a smile on my face. Because she never said anything positive, that family. They never said anything positive about me. So when I came to St. Joseph, came in a home where they have art, drumming, dancing, and then it's a home of worship. I said, "Thank you, Lord, this is my place." So every day they have drum practice, dance practice. And the kids said, "Bill, you can go up and watch. You can go up and watch." And I will go up in the dance area, and then I will be sitting in the corner and then watching the kids doing the moves. And mainly, I was focused more on the drummers. One eyes will be here for the dancers, and mostly the drummers. So, Michael, sometime, he will walk around, and then he'll stood in the corner, and then watch us interacting, and then when we do our chores, and then dancing, and drumming, and art. So one day Michael came and said to me, "Bill, it seems like you really like drumming." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, I've been watching you." I said, "Well, I've never seen you." He said, "Well, I know." Michael could just only speak, but he put his word into action. 3 weeks later, I got a drum teacher. Came at St. Joseph's and started to teach me how to drum. Woo! Can you imagine that? From a bucket into a wheel drum? Here we go. To a wheel drum. And then while I've been doing my practice, I was trying to feel the skin and then feel the drum and then looked at it. I said, "I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it." Every day after school, I will work hard on my drumming. Every day. And then I had other teachers come and help me. I remember when I turned 15, the dance company, the Resurrection Dance Theater of St. Joseph's, they already had drummers. But one day, we had a group of visitors who came to see the show. They live in another guest house. They came to see the show. And then before that, the drummers called Michael. They said, "Well," and the drummers, there was a kid who grew up at St. Joseph's. They were outsiders. And then they said to Michael, "Well, we won't be able to come." And Michael said, "No, we have the dance theater. We have the dance show tonight. We have people coming." So Michael said, "Bill, all right, we have a problem. Our drummers won't be able to come. You think you can play for the dance company?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not that good, Michael." I said, "Bill, you can do it." And this is what I love about St. Joseph's. When you think you cannot do something, and they say, "Bill, you can do it." and we're going to help you. So the dancers, they work with me all day. And at 6 o'clock, when the bell rang, and then I went up there and decided to do a little practice, at 7 o'clock, the show began. And I started to play. Oh boy. I made a lot of mistakes. I can't see the expression in the dancer's face. But I keep playing, I keep playing. But what I see, the audience. Those people are, they professional. Some of them are music teachers, and they know when you screwed up. And then what? The message I received from them. Bill, you are good. And if you work hard, you will be succeed. Don't think you can do it. Go for it. And at the end of the show, and then all the people came and said, oh boy, you are so good. And my head said, well, I am not. And then I said, you are good. So the dancer said, Bill, we can believe it. You did good. But I said, well, I saw you guys like do like, I didn't know what to think. But they said, Bill, we've been doing this because we this is a way to tell you, keep going. You're doing well. I said, no, for me, this. So it was so great, so great. And then I said, well, I have to work hard. So one day, Michael got a letter from a church in Canada, Toronto. Said, well, we would like the dance troupe, to go and perform for the Pope, John Paul II. And then I didn't have a birth certificate with me, because when I came to St. Joseph's, I had nothing. And Michael said, Bill, do you have your birth certificate? I said, no, I think I left it with the family. And he said, Bill, I will give you the bus fare. You think you'll be able to get there? I said, I think so. And then Michael gave me the bus fare, and then I made it to the bus station and get on the bus and made it to Central Plateau. So when I got to Central Plateau and I was walking around, and there was a guy came to me and said, your face look familiar. Are you Bill? I said, yes. Don't tell me that you're going back to live with the family again. I said, no. No. I said, well, if you can take me where they are, that'll be helpful. And then he took me. So when I got to their house, everybody in Haiti, in the evening time, people like to be outside and, you know, share stories. And then I walked in. And the lady jumped! Mom, here's Bill! Here was Bill! I knew it! Bill will come back. The sisters kidnapped that Bill. I said, the sisters kidnapped that Bill. I said, oh, but I didn't say anything. In my head, I said, well, that was a good kidnapping for you. I've been living in a beautiful home where I fed, I get clothing and in everything, so that's the best kidnapping ever. So, I said, Bill, tell me where have you been? I said, well, I found my family. He said, oh, where? I said, in Port-au-Prince. I said, well, can you give us the address? I said, oh, yeah, I'll give you the address. And I said, well, you know why I come here? I come here to get my birth certificate. And then she went in and gave me my birth certificate. And she started to pull some of my old clothes that I used to wear. I said, Bill, you remember this? I said, yeah, but I don't think they can feed me no more. Maybe you need to give it to someone else. And then I spent 3 days with them. I spent 3 days. And then she provided me with a bed. I said, no, I don't need a bed. I want to sleep where I used to sleep.
Oh.
And then she said, no, Bill. Now you can sleep with us. I said, it doesn't make any difference to me. And then I said to her, I forgive you. I forgive you. Coming in a home where you're well received, and then where at St. Joseph's, they taught us how to forgive. When someone do you evil, don't do evil for evil. Just do them good, and good will come your way. And I got my birth certificate, and then I went back to Port au Prince. And the St. Joseph's home made me a passport. And then we went to the Canadian embassy to apply for the visa. And then they called us, and they called Michael and started to question him about me. He said, who's this kid? And then tell us more about him. And Michael had to explain to them my childhood life, like living with the family. So they gave me the visa. And a lot of people applied for that event, for the World Youth Day. And then a lot of them get refusal. And guess what? The Resurrection Dance Theater, we all of us get the visas. So when we got that, I never lived Haiti before. Now I see myself on the plane and I was like this. Man, I'm high! I'm so high and I like this. So when I get to Montreal, oh my God. And then all this, and then being in a big airport, I had no idea what to do. So I went in one of the elevators. So we had to go to the second floor. We get an elevator, and some of the kids already left. I left, you know, they left me behind. I got an elevator. I don't know which button to push, and I stood there. I thought, like, well, they don't move. And then the door opened, and people get in, and then I'm just looking. And then one, a lady said, hey, honey, where are you going? I said, well, I think I'm going to the second floor. And then she just said, well, you just push number two. I said, oh, okay, number two. And when I got that, all the kids said, Bill, where have you been? I said, well, I got lost. I was staying in the elevator like, I don't know what to do. I said, oh, the next time you should have stayed with us. I said, God, you've been traveling to the dance theater before, but this is my first time. I have to look around. I said, well, next time stop looking around and stay with us. I said, okay. So we get on the plane, we made it to Toronto. So we get to Toronto, and then I said to myself, I couldn't believe that I am in Toronto, you know, all this big building, and it was like this. And it seems like the building, it's moving. And I was doing like this. Because they're so tall. And I never seen such a thing. And getting the train and everything. So, went back home and shared this experience with my classmates. And then I keep walking on. And then I got another visa and I made it to the United States. And then where I played for the dance troupe at Band Academy of Music for the first time, and then play with them at the Chicago Theater, and then keep continuing in trouble with the dance company. One day, Michael got an email from someone at Duke University, said, we got a scholarship for Bill. so he can come to Duke University and for drumming. So I went there, where I started to learn about more about African drumming. So I went back home and worked with the kids and shared this wonderful experience. And at Duke, I got another scholarship for Africa. I went to Senegal and the Gambia, where I was there learning about drumming, mostly the African drum. Because the Haitian, our ancestors from there. So when I was in Africa, I couldn't believe that I'm in Africa. Because that reminds me of my roots. And then I started to question myself. I wonder where my ancestors came from. So, in life, when someone was rejected you, they say you'll never be something, what the human said is not what God said. Sometimes people will say bad thing to you, but God doesn't say that. All it takes some good people to make a difference. Sister Caroline made a difference in my life, and it took me out in that situation and placed me in the beautiful. As I said, St. Joseph's Home for Boys is my family, and when I turned 21, I became the director for St. Joseph's Home for Boys. It's a way of giving back for what God has done in my life by working with these kids and then see them grow up to become young leaders and see them like reaching out to the neighborhoods. And I also the lead drummer for the dance company. So when we travel, we share our story. We share with people, church, schools. We let them know that all of our dance space based on the story. That's when we used to live on the city street of Port-au-Prince, where we've been like putting down called name, we were misunderstood. Sometimes they pushed us away. And then we want you to know this still exists. But living at St. Joseph's, I'm always looking a way for helping more in the Haitian community. Because I know I was a child slave, and I know this still exists, and then I have to do something. And then where I started to go other places and then discover a lot of kids in the same situation. Where in Haiti, you have what they call coutier. Coutier is the broker. We'll go in the countryside and then we'll convince a family. Said, well, I have a friend of mine who's willing to take care of your kids. And then your kids will go to school, your kids will be fed, and everything will be okay. And that broker will go in the countryside, you know, in the family where the family can even provide a meal for the kids. And in hearing that, a family will take their kids in Port-au-Prince and provide them with school. And this is what the parents wanted for the kids. They want the best. And then the broker took the kids and then give it to someone else and where they get some money. And the family had no idea what the kids will be ended up to in Port-au-Prince. And the kids ended up in a really, really horrible situation. So that's the reason why my story featured in a book called A Crime So Monstrous, wrote by Benjamin Skinner. And Benjamin Skinner worked for Time Magazine. So he went to Haiti, and then he was looking for a place to stay, and he was Googled and then found St. Joseph's. So he said, well, that's a really interesting place to stay. So when he stayed with us, and I saw him up on the roof, and I approached him, I said, well, Ben, what's the purpose of your trip here? He said, well, I am here to do research about child slavery. And then I said, well, what is your book about? He said, well, I'm writing a book about modern day of slavery. So I said, well, I was a child slave myself. So I shared with him my life story, and then we started to become good friends. And then I worked with the ABC Netline, where they came to Haiti and did a clip. I was the translator for them. And where I found a little girl, she's 9 years old, and her name is Tisa. I found her locked in a room, blood all over, cut all over her body. And then she said that, don't stay. I said, why? And then she said, well, if you keep staying there, and then you'll be bad for me. And I said, what, all these cuts? And then she said that the family used an electrical wire and then beat her up. Beat her up because she didn't wash the dishes. I said, this is not right. And then I managed and got this little kid out. And then we found her mother. We found her mother. But when we found the mother, and the mother told us the situation, where someone went and took her away from her, where she would be able to take care of her. But when we see the living condition for the mother, we said, well, we have to find another place. But we find an orphanage for girls in Haiti, and where those girls are well taken care of, and we took her to the orphanage. And I still keep in touch with her, and you shall see how she turned out. Beautiful, and then well-spoken, and then live in the community, and now she wants to do something for her mother. When I travel, I talked a lot about that. Because up in Telluride, in Colorado, they have the film festival up in Telluride. And I've been involved in that, like sharing my story. And in nowadays, we have 27 million people still living in slavery. 27 million. And Haiti is one of them, with the problem of breast cancer. All it takes is someone to go and make a difference in the lives of those kids. So at St. Joseph's, that's what we are about. Providing quality care for our kids and where they can go and serve the community. Thank you so very much. This time is open for questions, so if you guys have any questions, please feel free. Yes?
Bill, has anybody run, like on the presidential campaign, did anybody run on a platform where they were talking about making arrested ICE illegal, or an anti-slavery platform? Is that a political position that's popular or discussed at all?
St. Joseph's Home for Boys have been working with the social services for 26 years. And then they were the one, every time they find a kid and they'll bring them to St. Joseph's. But I know this issue, it's really deeply rooted. And then my whole hope is someone will be there to say something about it. I don't know, but they just have the new president with his own staff. And my whole hope is someone will say, well, we have to work on that issue. So That's just the hope. Just the hope. Any other questions?
Bill, how about your sister?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, that story is a long story, but I'm not. Well, when I came to St. Joseph, I've been praying, God, like every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 p.m. at night, I'll be asking God, God, help me reunite with my sister. But I had no idea where she is. But I have a strong feeling that she's still alive. She's somewhere. She's somewhere. But when I turned 24, and then I had a dream that God spoke to me and said, Bill, you're in a better position to do the first step. And then I said, oh, I have to do something. And then where I started to talk to my friends, and I said, well, I give them my information, my email address, my phone. I said, can you go in Central Plateau and announce it on radio? He said, Bill's still alive, and Bill is looking for his sister. So a month later, my friend came back to St. Joe and said, Bill, no luck. I don't think she's in Central Plateau. Maybe she moved somewhere else. But I kept pushing. And then two weeks later, the guy called me, said, Bill, I know someone that can help you find your sister. I said, well, that would be great. I said, who is that person? And then he said, well, that's my his godmother. I said, where is your godmother? He said, well, she lives in Port-au-Prince. I said, well, why don't you come at St. Joseph's and we'll set up an appointment. I can go and talk to your godmother. So on Wednesday, he came to St. Joseph and talked to me. So we went there and talked to her. And then she knew me right away. I said, well, can you please help me find my sister? And then she said, well, Bill, I'll be going back to Central Plateau in 2 weeks, but I don't know where your sister is, but I will try. I will try. And she went there, and then I don't know who she have been in contact with. One day, a lady knocked on the door. And then she didn't know who the lady was. And the lady said, well, I'm just coming and see if I can find a job. And then she said, well, I don't think I have anything for you, but who are you? And the lady started to explain to her who she was. And then somehow she mentioned my uncle's name. And then that lady knew my uncle. And then she called me. She said, Bill, who just knocked on my door? Guess who? I said, oh, my sister. I said, no. Your uncle's ex-wife. I said, oh, my uncle's ex-wife. I don't think I know who she is. I said, oh. My uncle's ex-wife, What her name? And she said, well, her name is Elon. I said, Elon, this doesn't ring a bell to me. So I said, well, can I call you later? Because I need to click. And then while I was thinking, I said, well, I think she'll be able to help me. I said, well, can you please provide a room for her and then make sure she have anything she wanted and I will pay you when I get there. So I went and talked to Michael and the boys. I said, well, I think it's time for me now to go and look for my sister. He said, Bill, do you know where you're going to find your sister? I said, well, I don't know, but there's a possibility. And then everybody come in a circle, and they sent me with their prayers. Said, Bill, good luck. And I said, thank you, but I won't be back until I found my sister. And I was limp. I met, I said, I won't be back. I don't know how long it will take, but I won't be back until I found. And I got on the bus, and I made it to Central Plateau, and then and here was Elon. And I started talking to Elon. And then Elon said, well, something happened with your uncle, and then we're not together anymore. I said, well, where is he right now? I said, well, your uncle used, when I left him in Gonaive. I said, well, Gonaive? Whew. I said, well, can you please go with me? Because you put, she can put to any man on the street, said, well, here's your uncle. I said, oh, okay. But she will be the only one who can be identifying my uncle. So we made it to Gonaive. So we went to probably 12 countryside. And then she was too dirt to me, and she wanted to help me. And guess where we find my uncle? Cape Haitian. Cape Haitian in a little town called Gonaive du Nord. So I found my uncle there. And then my uncle started to scream loud and said, how in the world do you find me? And then he said, Bill, I told you. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And my uncle said, well, is that my son? And my uncle's nickname is Boga. Boga means frog. Mm-hmm. I said, Boga? No, no, no. I don't remember that name, Boga. So my uncle said, well, is that Tiboga? When he said Tiboga, that means he has a son that he haven't seen for a long time. And then I give Elon some money, and I take her and said, thank you so much. Without you, I won't be able to find my uncle. But I said, now my uncle has to help me find my sister. And my uncle said, Bill, I was living in Gonaive. And then one day, God spoke to me and said, Boga, you need to leave. You need to move, go now and go somewhere else. And then 4 months later, they have the big flood. And the whole town got flooded. So I said to him, where's my sister? He said, Bill, I have no idea where your sister is. But we'll look. We'll find her. My uncle said, well, there's two possibilities. If she's not in Cape Haitian, there's a possibility she could be in the Dominican Republic. So, well, now should I have to travel to the Dominican Republic? So we traveled in the Cape Haitian area, and then he introduced me to a lot of my family members that I never knew. Cousins, aunts. And I even met my mother's sister. Her name is Marie. And she had to share with me about my mother. And I met my father's family. And one of my father's brothers named Job Oba. Said, Bill, let me take you where you was born. He took me there. And I said, well, my main focus is my sister. Where is my sister? And then I went to the Dominican Republic, and then I found my sister walking in a tobacco field. And then I took my sister with me, and when I saw her, she was like skin and bones. She was pregnant, and then she already had two kids. I said, what's going on? And she had explained to me the reason why she had the two kids, because she'd been abused. She got raped. And then I said, well, I'm ready to help you. You didn't throw those kids away. And then you carry on. And then you come with me. And now she lives in Port-au-Prince. She is fine. And then one of her kids, and his name is Enelson, and he's 9 years old. And guess where he is right now? Trinity House. So everybody's happy, and then I found her, and I made a lot of my family members. God is good! And then the family of St. Joseph's, and find my family, and the family just expanded. So I am so blessed, so happy, and I see that it was meant to be, to find my sister. And then I cannot count how many families I have in this world. The Holden Village, that's a new family. Man, oh man. So I am so blessed. I am so blessed that I came in a home where they give me the opportunity, the tools that I needed, and where I was so fortunate to have a lot of good people in my side. And then I say it's my goal that it's to give it back and to help more kids in the Haitian community. Any more questions? All right. Thank you so very much.